When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
Marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does John.
Obama nor
a number of incidents turned violent this afternoon.
Our limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my decision.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bob and Weave. This is episode number 14.
The fan episode.
The fan episode. That right there is Mr. Co-host Zach Weaver.
Hey, Weave. Guys.
And I'm, of course, Bob Ruff. And yeah, this can be a fan episode because we put a lot of thought into this and thought, you know what? It's time that we let the fans ask some questions about us. Talk about what they want to talk about.
Yeah, something like that.
It's not because the woman that we were supposed to interview today had to reschedule for next week. We panicked when we came into the office this morning.
it did happen
yeah.
A little bit. A lot of it.
Yeah. So next week, we're going to have a guest over the phone. For those of you that are familiar with the podcast Culpable, we're going to have Ray Andriacchio, who was her son was the subject of the Culpable podcast, who was found with a gunshot wound to the head and was determined to suicide. A lot of people don't believe it was a suicide. They believe he was murdered. And Ray's going to come on and talk about her experiences going through that, her experience working with Tenderfoot and Black Mountain Media and doing the podcast and some things that have developed since then.
Yeah, you actually turned me on to that podcast, so I'm really interested to talk to her.
Yeah, it gives you a little more time to do homework.
Mm-hmm.
How far in are you?
I don't know. Somewhere.
Somewhere?
Somewhere.
More than two?
More than two, yeah.
Less
when
than
I listen.
Eight. Yeah.
Less than eight. Somewhere between 2 and 8.
Yeah. So if you guys are looking for something to listen to, I would recommend, especially if you want to do a little background before we do the that episode next week, I would highly recommend listening to the Culpable podcasts. And then you can get a little background into that. But so what we did is this morning, I went into the Bob and Weave fan group and made a post and said, we're going to do a fan show. We're going to talk about what you guys want to talk about today.
Mm-hmm. And the Bob and Weave fan group on Facebook is what you're talking about.
Yes, the Facebook Bob and Weave fan group. If you're not in there, you should be in there. Lots of good discussion happening there every day. Also, something we haven't asked about in a while, but do us a favor. Go on to iTunes if you're listening right now and leave us a review. We would appreciate it if you do that. Help keep the podcast visible. We're almost to, I think we were just crossing, like literally as I was on our page just a few minutes ago, 80,000 downloads so far.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So thank you guys for supporting us and listening and coming back every week and your engagement in this particular episode.
Yeah. Thank you guys very much. That's really awesome. Yeah. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff.
All that stuff those good YouTubers tell you to
yeah,
do.
Yeah. If you're on YouTube, leave a comment, share it with your friends,
mm-hmm.
Hit that thumbs up button.
Tell everyone.
The one that looks like this if you're watching on YouTube.
Share it with 1,000 of your friends.
Please.
All of you. So, I think, Zach, my plan is I've got that post in front of me,
mm-hmm.
and I think we just scroll through these.
Let's do it.
And just go through them one at a time.
For it.
We'll start off with, and then if we don't want to talk about it, we just won't.
Yep.
So we got John Hayes comes in first and says, sports topic. This year saw an incredibly high number of bad referee calls in the NFL. Do you feel that referees should be able to be fined or punished in some way when they commit a number of bad calls that decide game outcomes? You're more of a football fan than I am.
Well, it wasn't just this year. There's a lot of calls over years and years that they've messed up. I agree. I guess they should be fined. But at the same point, you say that they should be fined or held. I mean, they are held responsible. They lose their job.
Right.
You know what I mean? If it's
what does happen? Does that happen? Like, is there ever any? I wonder if there are consequences. I'm sure there's a union that they're a part of. It's, mm-hmm. it's a professional organization.
Yeah. But I would say if it's egregious enough, you're not going to be reffing very long.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah, and you definitely wouldn't climb the ranks from, mm-hmm. you know, high school to college to professional football.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's the case in a number of different sports. But the thing with football is there's instant replay. So, like, how – I don't watch a lot of football. I like football, but I watch my teams. I'm a Notre Dame fan. Zach is a huge Notre Dame fan.
Oh, don't start
big,
on me.
Big parties at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame hasn't been relevant in 40 years, I'm telling you.
It's not true.
When's the last time? I'm telling you, when
he's talking about him right now,
when relevant. What's his face? I don't even know what his name is. Mateo had a fake girlfriend.
Oh, Manti Te'o.
When he had a fake girlfriend.
Yeah.
That looked like this. Mm-hmm. If you're watching on YouTube with arm around nobody.
With nobody there.
That's the last time Notre Dame was actually relevant.
What are you, a Michigan fan? Michigan State fan?
Or Michigan State, but really that doesn't matter. Like, they're just not.
No, you're from this area. You root for Notre Dame. So you think because we're from Michigan that you root for Michigan or Michigan State. Yeah,
but Notre Dame is like 4 minutes that way.
Yeah, I could walk there. Mm-hmm. It would take a while, but I could walk there.
I've tattooed several Notre Dame football players.
So you should be a Notre Dame fan. They've supported your business.
Probably less of a reason to be a Notre Dame fan.
You know what? Nobody put it on this thread, I don't think, but people have been asking about tattoos.
There is a tattoo question in here. I did see that.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then we'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
Because we'll stick around with John's.
All right, John. So, yeah, I could see them being fined. I don't know what else would have to happen. You know, and the calls have to be really, really egregious for something to happen because there is room for human error. I mean, it is what it is. They're using their eyes. They can only do as good as they can do.
Well, and we as fans have the opportunity, the advantage of having multiple high definition camera angles and slow-mo.
Exactly.
Where they're running on the field or right there. So, you know, they're going to make some mistakes. But so what are the rules anymore with NFL football with it? Because the instant replays used to be. Didn't they used to have challenge flags where they had to challenge?
So recently they just changed. They can actually challenge penalties now. If there is a possible pass interference that wasn't called, you can challenge to say that there's pass interference.
Okay.
And they will go look at it. But at a certain point, that doesn't come down to the refs anymore because the refs aren't, you know, the refs are looking at these videos, but it's also what the main organization is showing them. They have all the camera angles from everybody else. So that has to be, the foul has to be, I keep saying egregious enough, but egregious enough for it to be overturned.
Right.
So it's hard to say.
Yeah, there has to be like clear evidence in order to overrule a call on the field.
Yep.
Which would be, you would think, the egregious one you're talking about where someone would be, you know, punished or disciplined for getting a call wrong. Mm-hmm. It would have to be pretty obvious in the replay.
Well, last year there was a call in the playoffs that was so egregious. That was so wrong.
Today's word is egregious.
And so blatant that they put this rule into place.
Okay.
That's where this whole rule came from, is there was a play that was so bad and so miscalled last season that it literally made this rule this season.
Well, we're in the playoffs right now, and I'm assuming I haven't watched any of them. I don't have any teams left. I'm a Bears fan, and but I'm assuming something must have happened recently for this to come up.
I don't know. Maybe.
You haven't been watching him either.
No, I have been, but yeah.
But so what is it still the rule that they don't just review? Don't they review every scoring play?
They review every scoring play, every turnover.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something else that they review too. It's every scoring play and every.
So
turnover.
There's more and more instant replays because mm-hmm. it used to be just the coaches got like two per half or something.
Yeah, two per game, and if they won both, they got a third one.
Right, and if they didn't, they cost them a timeout or something. Mm-hmm. Didn't it? If you challenge a play and didn't get it right, then you cost you a timeout.
Yep.
So they're reviewing more, but yeah, I think that would be a professional thing that I don't know should be able to be fined or punished. And so, how you plan on punishing these people, Josh? What are you going to do? Like, like waterboard them if they screw up a call.
I guess so.
But it's a big deal, though. I mean, for fans, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, that's sports is big business.
There's a lot of money
with
behind
betting.
It.
I couldn't imagine if I was somebody that was betting large amounts of money on sports
and lost it on a bad call.
Yeah, and should have won. Yeah, that would be rough. But yeah, I don't know, John. I think we all need to strike and stop watching sports until they get the calls right.
Oh boy.
We don't want any more government intervention.
Next.
Leah Dobbins says, I have several ideas for topics in no particular order. Second Amendment supporter and agree with you both that changes in gun laws really only affect law-abiding citizens. But what do you think could be done to curb school violence and mass shootings?
So I think that is a whole episode on its own that we already planned on getting into.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably something we're not going to touch today because that's a whole episode on its own.
Yeah, that definitely is a big episode. I'll answer the question real quick. And
nothing you do is quick. Are you kidding me?
I'm just talking, Zach.
I know, but nothing you do is quick. So go ahead for your quick answer.
I think we need armed security guards in schools.
That doesn't mean you have to talk fast. And
we don't need to... We really need to be our security guard in school. That's what's got to happen. Come on, Sam. Asshole. Ugh. No, but no, I've said this for a long time, and I think that, you know, I think, you know, let the teachers and people carry, or principals carry, or some of the school people that make them. I'm not going for all that. But this is my only point with this, and we'll come back to it when we touch this, when we get onto this topic fully. We protect everything that is important and dear to us. By men and women with guns. Think about it. Our money at the bank, there's armed guards in the security trucks that are hauling the money. The armed trucks, there's armed guards. Or at the courthouses, there's armed guards. Our politicians are protected by armed guards. And I've never understood why we are willing to spend the money to arm people to protect things that are important to us. But the thing that should be the most important to us, which is our children, we won't spend the money to protect them.
100% agree.
That is where my position will begin when we get into that episode someday.
Next.
On Bob and Weave. Next. For it. Zach's for it.
For it.
Climate change and its role in the increasing number and severity of natural disasters annually. That's going to require some research on my part.
Mm-hmm. And actually, for the listeners that don't know, we have a huge topic board, and climate change is on our topic board for an episode.
Yeah, and so is gun control. Yeah. But yeah, that's something I would, in order to speak intelligently on it, I need to study it more. It's one of those things that me and my little, and I probably could do better, but you know, me and my little world here, it's like there's nothing I can do as a human, as one human, to fix the problem. So I just put my head in the sand and hide.
Happens.
But maybe there is something I can do. So, but we'll get into that one. But it's going to require some more research. Disparity in medical care based on race, also from Leah.
That's another one that I'd have to look into. I don't really know much about that.
Yeah. It shows you how well we prepare for these other episodes because we really don't know shit about shit.
Mm-hmm. Bob talks about speaking intelligently on things. I just speak unintelligently on everything. So.
John Hayes with another one.
Damn it, John.
Come on, John. John loves us.
Oh, yes, John. Thank you, John.
He's one of our biggest fans.
He's awesome. John's I appreciate greatest. Him.
He just got married.
Congratulations,
in
John.
October.
I'm sorry you did that.
Did you send him a wedding card?
I didn't know I was supposed to. I told him to run.
I'm sorry, John. Tell Crystal I said hello.
Hopefully she doesn't listen that I just said that.
He says, tech topic. In the tech world, it's being debated right now whether or not the government should break up some mega companies' mergers to create free market competition. The pro side is competition breeds innovation and lower prices. The con side is the concept sounds like it's punishing success and free capitalism. Discuss.
Yeah. I mean, what he said is exactly it. If you break these companies up, you are encouraging innovation. You know, you're pushing things forward.
Mm-hmm.
Companies are fighting for your business at this point.
Right.
Things are going to get cheaper.
Imagine being the startup. It's got to be so hard for like the Silicon Valley startup companies that are trying to come up with something new, and they're competing against Apple and you know, these major tech companies.
But then how can you blame a guy? Not that I really like the guy, but how can you blame the guy that made Amazon? He started in his garage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's done some things that aren't great, but the guy literally started in his garage.
Right.
And amassed this huge company that controls everything.
Right. And it's, I don't know. There's good sides and bad sides to all of it.
What the hell is his name? Jeff Bezos?
Bezos, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you've seen my, I had to make a burn pile here, speaking of climate change, for my cardboard boxes from the daily shipments from Amazon that we have. We never go anywhere. Everything is done with Amazon. It's amazing. Especially, I remember when Amazon was just a place to get books. Mm-hmm. It was only books. And then it became this mega marketplace. And again, it's hard to compete with anybody. I mean, most things that I can find in a store, now on their app, you can literally scan the barcodes and it'll show you what you could get it for from Amazon, usually cheaper, with free, because where we're at, close to the distribution center, free next day shipping.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, bloop, it'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I just saved $20.
So it is hard. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, obviously the Jeff Bezos guys, he's done some shady things. We've all seen how some of that's played out. But, you know, how do you punish him for creating a company like this?
Yeah. There's, I don't know. We're not. So,
and I guess that's not tech. He did specifically say tech, but that's what I think of.
Why John's asking these really hard, serious questions. I don't know the answers to. I'm kind of really down, like I said, down the middle on that. I, you know, I'm not a big proponent of government intervention in much of anything. Mm-hmm. That's just my own personal feelings on most things. But at the same time, yeah, I probably would. If there's not competition, then there's much less drive for someone to innovate something new. And usually what happens is when someone creates something new, they get absorbed, they get bought
mm-hmm.
by the, you know, have you ever watched the show Silicon Valley?
Nope.
Funny. Haven't seen it all. Saw a few seasons. But that's like basically what all these startups in Silicon Valley do is they try to develop the software or the next big thing and to build a business, you know, out of their garage, hoping that some big tech company will come in for $1 billion and buy it.
Yeah.
And that's how they make their money.
Well, that's how a lot of that stuff is. I mean, you look at like Facebook acquired Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And then Instagram wanted to acquire Snapchat. And Snapchat didn't want to sell, so Instagram said, "Yeah, fuck it, we're going to make our own.
We'll do our own stories."
And now if you look, there's stories and all that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Yep. Speaking of social media, the latest buzz is fucking TikTok.
Yeah, we're talking Tic-Tacs.
Tic-Tacs. I've started looking. So Mike said something the other day. Mike, our producer, is becoming an influencer.
Mm-hmm. Merb Gaming 911-1120.
It's at Merb Gaming, MURRB Gaming. But he streams video games and he started to get into like Twitter especially mm-hmm. and some other social media. And he's like, man, everybody's talking about TikTok. And it's just like Snapchat used to be or Instagram was, where it was like, it's something that my kids did.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it for years, like a couple of years. Quentin and Bella were always making TikTok videos, which is them like dancing to a music video. And now all of a sudden it's becoming like the next big social media platform. And The Rock's on there. I saw Howie Mandel's on there. Like,
but what is it? It's just videos?
Yeah.
You and I are going to make dance videos?
I think we're going to make dance videos.
Sweet.
I have a TikTok.
We can make hunting videos like we did at the beginning.
Yeah, where we were hunting for a topic.
Yeah. And I was hunting for pizza.
That's right.
mm-hmm.
But yeah, they make videos. It's kind of I messed around with the app a little bit yesterday, but it's kind of like Instagram, but you can do, so like if I want to put together a video, I can actually shoot scenes. Like I could shoot you doing the game film while still on the screen while I'm building my video, and then I could flip it over and film something else and then go back to it. You could blend them together with music and effects, and you could do all this stuff in the app and put these little short videos out.
Okay.
Will Smith's got one. I mean, TikTok, at Bob Ruff Truth. TikTok.
I wonder if Donald Trump's got one. I mean, he tweets like a maniac. Let's see if he can do this now.
Oh, what if Donald Trump gets a TikTok?
Amazing.
God, I won't put it past him that he'll have a TikTok. TikTok. But I have a TikTok at Bob Ruff Truth, and you'll see there's nothing there. I haven't posted anything because I don't know how it works.
If you look up Z to the Q, you won't find one because I don't have one.
Well, this was my thought.
Probably won't do one.
This is my thought, is if this turns into the next social media marketing thing that I have to do for my business,
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure I secured my handle that I have on all my other
social media. I'm being an old grumpy man.
You're not going to do it.
Yep. I know I always make fun of you for being the old man because you're old. But, right.
But you're still on the Facebooks.
I'm going to do it. I'm still on MySpace, man.
Right. Boomer.
Mm-hmm. Still got that AOL Instant Messenger, dog.
Right. All right. Here we go. Lene Williams. I'd like to hear any opinions on the changes to the stigma of tattoos and your thoughts. It used to be not professional to have any showing, But that seems to have changed.
It's changed drastically.
Crazy. We actually just talked about this a little bit on Truth and Justice.
So I've tattooed about 15 years. And even in my tattoo lifetime, I mean, it's changed drastically. You know, people weren't getting heavily tattooed when I started tattooing. It was still little things.
Kids are getting, you go to the high school, go to a high school basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, I would say 20% of the seniors have tattoos.
Oh, yeah. A ton of people have tattoos.
My 19-year-old stepson just got his second tattoo. Yeah, mm-hmm. And big one. Like, I got my first tattoo when I was 18, and I was a fucking rebel. I was, like, the only one in my class that had a tattoo, and it was a tiny little tattoo that Zach covered up for me a year later.
Oh, yeah. I was going to not cover it up.
Right.
Yeah.
It was because it was just itty bitty, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I was afraid to get anything big. And
speaking of tattoos, you have that real cute little ankle tattoo. It's like, it's real cute. It's like a little beach girl tattoo. It's on your ankle.
I'm going to ask you to go fuck yourself. All right. It's not a beach girl.
No, I'm not saying it's a beach girl. I'm saying you are like that beach girl that has like the nice little cute.
It's a buffalo. It's a manly buffalo.
It's cute.
It is a big, tough buffalo.
Except for it's the size of a quarter.
Yeah. So that was when I was 18.
Yeah.
And it was me and right at the end of the school year, because I already had the one on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the school year, myself and three of my friends were all going away to college. I had a scholarship to go to the University of Colorado. One of them was going to Syracuse. One was going to Purdue. I don't remember where that was going. But we all decided one day, let's all go to the tattoo shop and get tattoos for our schools. So I got the CU Buffalo on my ankle, which looks like an actual ink blot if you don't get close enough to it to look at it.
It's a weird birthmark.
Yeah. Thanks for making me feel bad about my body.
Stigma and tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's changed drastically. I mean, everybody has tattoos. I've tattooed doctors. And I don't just mean I've tattooed a doctor. I mean, I've done back pieces, sleeves, anybody. I mean, everybody has them now.
You see it all over the place. You watch the news and there'll be anchors with, you know, full sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, and of course, now that I'm not in the fire service anymore, I have sleeve. But I wonder, like, now I think I could pull off wearing my chief uniform with these tattoos now. And
there's a lot of police officers that are starting to have sleeves. They're allowing it.
Yeah, but they didn't used to.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be you couldn't have anything visible ever. But definitely the stigma, you know, it used to be like when I was a kid, if you saw somebody with some tattoos, immediately you're like, that's a biker, that's a Hell's Angel, or, you know, prison tattoos, or they were military.
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, now it's like it's hard to find somebody who doesn't have one.
It is. If you find someone that doesn't have one, they're in the outliers now.
Yeah. I mean, you're a tattoo artist, but there's four people here. There's me, you, Mike, and Becky.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's the only one without a tattoo.
And he wants to get one.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, get a tattoo. Hey, Mike. Mike. Come here. Oh, boy. Come here, Mike.
Just come in real quick here.
You guys are really hurting for content, huh?
Yeah, no, we're having fun.
Yeah, look at the camera there. Just that's Mike, you guys, if you didn't see the Star Wars episodes.
We're having fun.
Any of them. We're just talking about tattoos and that you want to get a tattoo.
I might someday.
That was it?
That was it. All right, you can go back to work now, Mike.
That drastically changed. He's so over dealing with us today. It's
amazing.
I don't
know what I was going to do when he got in here, but that wasn't it.
It was worth it. It was worth making him come in here.
Yeah, stop editing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you see people tattoos all, like, it's almost jarring now if you're talking to someone or you're in a group of adults.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's like, I don't have any tattoos. It's like, none?
Yeah, it is weird.
You know, so like that age group for me, like the ladies, you know, like, oh, you know, you got the little one above your lower back.
Uh-huh.
And the guy's got the, you know, the
tribal armband or the tribal piece.
It was all tribal stuff, like all from back in the day. But yeah, it's strange when you come across somebody that doesn't have one. I would say that's probably the minority.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely changed a lot. Lene. Jesus Christ. Hayes has got another one. I may skip it because he's already had two.
What if it's a good one?
Okay. So he's saying with the trend being that marijuana is becoming legal in lots and lots of states now. And if I think pretty much any of the Democrats other than Biden get elected, it very well likely may end up being legal federally. Do we think that there should be corporate changes? How did he put it? Do you see corporate drug testing changing to comply anytime soon? And I've wondered about this for a long time. Of course, I'm self-employed, so I can do whatever I want. I can smoke crack and come to work if I want to. I'm not going to, but I could. But, you know, if you have – so I have a lot of friends that have jobs that do drug testing, which seems it's not like alcohol. Because alcohol, you know, it's in your system and it's gone. When you're not drunk anymore, it's not in your system anymore. Yeah. With marijuana, I could, you know, smoke a joint over the weekend on Saturday and go to work Monday and have no effects from it whatsoever. But if you drug test me, I would test positive. So it almost seems, I haven't put a whole lot of thought into it, but it really seems wrong that you can tell me, basically you can mandate that I can't do something in my own time that's perfectly legal. In the state of Michigan, recreational marijuana use is legal. So how can a company tell me, you know, they can tell me what to do Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Correct.
But how can they tell me what I can do on Saturday? Can they tell me that I can't go out drinking on Saturday?
That's tough. That's really tough because I try to really look at both sides of it. And you're not obligated. You know, you don't have the right to work there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they are giving you that job.
Right.
So if they mandate that you can't test for this, that's their policy.
Right. But there's federal labor laws in place to make sure that that process of them allowing me to work there is fair. You know, like you can't fire someone without due process. You know, even though it's not my right to work there. If I work there, they can't just say, you know, I don't like you, so you're fired. You can sue them for wrongful termination because it violates those rules. So there is, they are required to, I don't want to say, standard of living is not the word I'm looking for, but the, but employers are, in my opinion, obligated to not interfere with your life, I guess. You know what I mean?
I definitely get where you're coming from. That's why I said, I mean, I try to look at both sides. I really am trying to look at both sides of it because I agree. I don't think they should be able to tell you you can't do it. But you also cannot be coming into work inebriated.
Right. And that's the that's the hard part between the difference between marijuana and with alcohol. Is marijuana will stick in your system for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, for, you know, we've mentioned before, we're going to go, Zach and his wife and my wife and I are all going to Mexico for a vacation here in a few weeks. And, you know, if we were out of the country in Mexico and decided to smoke some pot while we're on vacation, and then come home a week later and go back to work again, because we're both self-employed, but and they get drug tested and be like, oh, now I'm fired because when I was in a different country on vacation, I smoked a joint.
It's tough. It's real tough.
I wonder if any of the candidates, I haven't seen anything or if any of them are talking about that, because a lot of them are saying they want to legalize marijuana federally, if they're looking into the how that would affect labor laws.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And we're going to do it. We'll move on because we're going to do a whole episode on that as well.
Yeah, that's something I'd really have to wrap my head around.
Well, let me pop in here because one of our listeners popped in and responded to that. Leah Dobbins, who I think we heard from already. I work for a company that has offices in multiple states, including some that have legalized marijuana. All workers are required to pass a drug screen that includes CBD and are required to pass regardless of the laws in the state they're in. Part of his question was, what about CBD? Which is, for those of you that don't know, it's not the intoxicating psychedelic part of the marijuana plant,
which is the THC.
THC, CBD, and I use CBD. I've used it in the past, and now they're a sponsor, so I just got a big batch of it.
Yeah. And oh, that's going to go over real well with your audience, I'm sure. If the people didn't like vaping.
Yeah, well, it was in yesterday's episode. Or no, it's in this week's episode.
Okay, so we'll see how it goes. That's a little free bit for everybody.
Well, with my audience on Truth and Justice, though, like it's a very left-leaning audience. So legalized marijuana is popular with that demographic as opposed to the vaping, which is just supposedly a health crisis.
Okay.
Which is a whole another one we want to talk about. But interesting, they're testing for CBD. It has no psychedelic effects. Like I said, I take it, it's an oil and it's good for joint inflammation. I've taken it to help sleep, different doses. It's just an oil I put under my tongue.
My wife takes it as well. She takes it for anti-anxiety.
Yeah, that too. Calmness and anxiety.
Yeah.
Focus. I've actually taken it when I'm writing. I'll take some. So the different doses, a lower dose, really, it's interesting because a smaller dose kind of helps me focus, but a bigger dose makes me go to sleep.
Our friend Brandon is a big proponent of that. Brandon Lynette, published author Brandon Lynette.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. She's a big proponent of CBD too.
We should have her on, talk about her book.
That'd be awesome. She'd love it.
All right. Richard Plunkett says, I'd like to know what you guys think about the impeachment. I mean, we talked about that a little bit.
With Boyce, I think we talked about it more.
I think, so I'm going to respond to this because somebody else on the, in the fan group.
I'm going to fall asleep real quick, guys.
He's not interested in politics.
Not very much.
But there's another, somebody, I'm trying to find the post so I can tell you what his name is. Kip Keith made a post about the Iran episode from last week. So he's loving the podcast. He likes our balanced and measured commentary, refreshing, finds it refreshing. But he took issue with the idea that I said Congress has gone rogue. And you know, basically saying that there should be checks and balances, and Trump kind of brought this on himself, which when we're talking about the impeachment, I responded to him, but I'll respond here too. What I mean by that, I don't mean the Democrats have gone rogue. I mean Congress in general has gone rogue in the fact, you know, House and Senate, because things are so partisan, politics divided right now. And the Democrats, even though they're maybe they're, you know, that maybe he should be impeached for his phone conversation, that is the topic of this, you know, the purpose, the reason for his impeachment, maybe, but that doesn't change the fact that the left, the Democrats, have been saying since before he took office that they're going to impeach him.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a clear goal that to impeach him. So it's like, and then now it's to the point where now the other side, the Republicans, are trying to just fight the impeachment. Even though a lot of them disagree with a lot of what Trump does, and that's what I mean by that. Like all of a sudden, nobody's, and I know that Kip respectfully disagreed with me, and I'll respectfully disagree with him, that I do not think our Congress, Republicans or Democrats, have our best interest in mind anymore. Because all that's happening right now is the Democrats are trying desperately to get Trump out of office, and the Republicans are trying desperately to keep him there. And we just spent how many millions of dollars and time to go through an impeachment process with a foregone conclusion. It was known from Jump Street that this was going to end when it went to the Senate and then they didn't convict.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the point? Also, we went through all this time and money leading us to that, knowing that we're less than a year away from an election where the American people can decide for themselves if they want him in office anymore. It just, and that's what I mean. And I wasn't singling out Democrats or Republicans. I'm saying just Congress in general nobody is looking out for our best interest anymore. In my opinion, it feels very much like one side's trying to remove the president, the other side's trying to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they may disagree with him, they're trying to stop it because now it's a Republican Democrat thing.
Well, and it's refreshing too that he spoke up and said he respectfully disagrees and brought his opinion, because that's what this whole show is about.
Yeah, yeah.
Just opening that dialogue and allowing communication back and forth.
Yeah, if you're not on the fan group, get on it. It's actually a great thread. It's starting to be a great thread. People are popping in and starting to comment on it. One lady called me a misogynist in there, though.
Yeah, not really sure about that, but that's...
Hurt my feelings. You know what? I'll address that, too, because somebody else messaged me, messaged our Facebook page, mm-hmm. And didn't like it in the Yang episode. When I was talking about Elizabeth Warren, at one point I said, come on, woman. And she said, that just sounds very misogynistic. I don't, you know, and she's been a longtime supporter and fan,
mm-hmm.
and said that, like from Truth and Justice, and said that, you know, she knows that I'm not a misogynist,
mm-hmm.
or sexist, but I should know that it came across that way. And my friend, I had a discussion with her about it, and it was very nice the way she brought it up. And I actually agreed with her. I told, it's like, you know, My distaste was not for the woman. It was, you know, I was speaking about the other female candidate in high regards. It was, I don't like what Elizabeth Warren was doing. And I said, come on, woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also said, when I was talking about Pete Buttigieg, come on, man.
Yeah.
And so that was, it was just the words, it was just putting an exclamation point on the end of it. But when she said it, and I literally went back and listened to it, because I took it to heart the way she brought it. And I told her that, you know, certainly not the way I intended that to come across, but I can definitely see the point and something I'll be conscious of. I don't know why else this person thinks that I'm a misogynist, but
it could be me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, she didn't say me. She said that
could be me.
That there's misogynist reasons why she doesn't like us.
Yeah, it happens.
It's probably mostly you.
Probably.
Right.
It's probably that gold chain I had on last week.
It probably was.
Mm-hmm.
But if you guys thought that anything that we have said was sexist or misogynistic, we apologize, and we try to be conscious of that. Just our word choices, I guess. Back to our thread here.
Yeah, I forgot where we were going.
Katie Kaz says, smoking. The minimum age being... Oh, this is interesting, too. I thought this was a Facebook meme.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was until I went to the gas station the other day that it changed.
Yeah, so federally, they just raised the age to smoke cigarettes to 21.
They fucking snuck that through.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Like you said, I thought it was a Facebook thing. I went to the store, and there's a note on the door of the gas station. You cannot buy
cigarettes unless you're 21. And Mike brought up a good point. Because I was with him when we walked into a gas station and saw it. He's like, imagine being the 20-year-old smoker.
Yeah, that smoked for 2 years.
Well, legally,
it's 2 years.
For 2 years, it's legal, and you're hooked, and you're going through a carton a week of cigarettes, and all of a sudden now you're not allowed to buy cigarettes. And I'll tell you, I guess I should read the rest of her question.
The price of cigarettes about to go up. I'm going to start selling cigarettes on the side.
She said the minimum age being raised federally.
I'm not really going to do that.
And then also she wants to talk about vaping. So, Bob, I really like you address the backlash from your blue e-cigs ad on Truth and Justice, and would like to hear more about the alleged dangers. We actually have that on our topic board, too. I didn't know how much interest you guys would have in a 45-minute episode about vaping.
I wouldn't. I'd be bored as shit.
Well, my thing is, the whole thing with the vaping, so this, for those of you guys don't remember, just a few months ago, there was a big scare that vaping was killing everyone, and they were banning flavored e-juice. In our state, which the state Supreme Court overruled that, they can't do it. But they banned it, and then they're talking about banning it federally. It was this big thing that this vaping is killing people. My issue with it had not so much to do with vaping, because at the time I was still vaping. That's what I used to quit smoking. That's why I was a supporter of it, because maybe it's not good, but it helped me quit when nothing else helped me quit. But it's a bigger issue when it comes to lobbyists and really my tinfoil hat conspiracy. It's big tobacco, because there's no study, and I've read tons. There's one really great study by Baylor University where they can speed up the process of like emphysema and stuff in rats and mice. So they make them smoke, and it takes about 4 months for a rat to develop emphysema. That's, so
seems pretty gnarly, actually.
Yeah, well, because the argument is nobody knows what vaping is going to cause, because it's only been around for a couple of years, 5 years, whatever it's been. So we don't know what the effects are going to be in 10 years. Well, they did the same thing with these rats and found that after exposing them to vape for a year, however long a rat lives, I don't know, not only did they never develop any emphysema, 0%, no inflammation, literally no ill effects came from them being forced to vape through a lifetime, where with tobacco or smoke, it would take them a few weeks. Or before they get emphysema and die.
That's interesting.
So point one is there's actually no medical evidence. And I'll have doctors and nurses that will tell me, no, I've had this kid come in and because of this. And a lot of the problem is usually from what I've studied, they're lying. What they're doing is vaping homemade THC oils. And the butane used to create that is causing damage to people's lungs.
Seems rough.
Yeah, Zach's just chiming in with, sound effects.
That's all I got. That's all I got, guys. I'm sorry.
But anyway, so one thing I can tell you for sure is that smoking does kill, and I don't have the numbers, and I had them at the time when I was really researching this, but it's something like
12
people a year die from smoking. Wait, that's not right.
That's definitely not right.
No, but it's in the hundreds of thousands or millions. It's a massive number. So my point was, here's something that we know is killing people. Massive numbers of people. And no one was saying anything about that. It was like I had people arguing with me. It's like, well, yeah, but vapes aimed at kids. You know, there's not flavored. You can't buy bubblegum flavored tobacco. It's only vape. To which I responded, go to a fucking gas station and look at the 25 flavors of Skoal chewing tobacco, everything from cherry to tropical punch to bubble gum to wintergreen, and the little cigars, Swisher Sweet cigars, and grape, cherry, lemon, and orange flavored. Like,
I tried to chew once. It didn't go well.
Make you turn green?
Yeah, and I threw up.
That's where I got my start.
It was gross. It wasn't good.
I was Skoal in Copenhagen for years. Started smoking while trying to quit chewing. Been a nicotine addict for most of my adult life.
Nope. I threw a big old dip in and was going to cowboy up. And It went south real quick. Turned real green and
vomitized.
Vomitized all over the road.
Yeah.
Literally driving down the road, stop the truck, jump out of the truck. Yeah.
And then you could never even smell it again after that. I
can't smell it again.
Nope.
Nope. That was a good times.
Nope. So anyway, that's, again, we may do a topic all about it one time with actual research. I'd like to have a guest in to talk about it because it is, again, my bigger issue is we're having wool pulled over our eyes while we have product A over here that's killing millions.
Mm-hmm.
And then product B that, if everything that was said about it was true, killed 13, and the whole country's up in arms about product B. Meanwhile, it's nothing to see over here with tobacco. Nobody is talking about banning tobacco. Now, they did just raise the age, but with vaping, they were talking about banning it.
Yeah.
The president of the United States was talking about banning this product.
Then you know what happened? Epstein didn't kill himself.
And right.
And this all went away.
It's wag the dog mm-hmm. all over again. Something else happens in the news cycle and things change. You know, we start focusing on something else. But I was pissed because I wanted to keep talking. It's like, no, some scientists get in there and talk about it. I don't care. I quit it. So it doesn't affect me. But it bothers me that the government is doing this. And the reason is there's too much money in Philip Morris and Big Tobacco that is lining pockets of Congress people with lobbyist money for us ever to say we're going to ban. Imagine how health, we're talking all the different health crises and everything else we have going on in this country. Imagine what our health situation would be if the United States banned tobacco, period.
Listeners, do me a favor and let us know if you like our tinfoil hat weekly moments, because we definitely have them weekly.
Right. Well, that's not even tinfoil hat. Think about it.
That's pretty tinfoil hatty.
Think about it.
I'm not saying it doesn't have a lot of logic. I'm just saying you had that hat on.
Right. But think about, what if there was no tobacco? You weren't allowed to grow it. You weren't allowed to sell it.
Uh-huh.
How much, what healthcare reform? How many billions are pumped into our healthcare system every year because of tobacco? But yeah. No, we're worried about my bubblegum flavored vape. Come on.
It's the kids, Bob. We're worried about the kids.
Right. Yeah.
Next.
You don't want to talk about vape anymore. I'm getting idea. How about Dana Klein?
I don't know who she is, so thank you for listening, Dana Klein.
Right. Okay. You'd think that this was another evening drinking recording. She says, student debt and the atrocities of being middle class when your kids go to college.
Don't go to college. That's my two cents.
Zach's really not going to be a lot of help with anything today.
I am killing it today.
Right.
I'm just saying, don't go to college. I didn't go to college.
Well, that's a whole topic I want to cover. We had a guest lined up.
Look at me. I'm ugly as shit. Wait, what does that have to do with anything?
Jesus Christ. Are you going to be all right?
No, that's good. That's fun.
But we had a guest lined up that I'd still like to get him in here to talk about the education system. But there's a whole topic in there about the value of a college education and what you're getting for the money you're spending on it. And that's a very deep topic that I feel pretty passionately about. Very quickly, what I feel about it is we shouldn't be telling kids they have to go to college or they're a piece of shit.
I 100% agree.
Because that's what a lot of schools are doing. And I know that's my stepson, who didn't want to go to college and wants to work in another trade,
mm-hmm.
was made to feel less than all through school because he didn't want to go to college.
No, I think trade schools are huge. And I think that's a big deal. But I don't think you need to go to college. I think forcing kids that belief that they have to go to college to get a better job is just horseshit.
I know a lot of people with college degrees that don't have high paying jobs.
I have a friend that has a 4-year degree that works at Jimmy John's.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that was, you spent $200,000 on a degree.
Right.
And you're working for minimum wage at Jimmy John's because the degree you chose is worthless.
Right.
It's not even that it's just a bad degree.
Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes bad degrees become bad degrees later.
Yeah.
You know, there's degrees. You know, my dad has a degree in food distribution marketing or something like that. And his job, for years, he had a great job and it went away. His job was, remember back when there used to be a bunch of little grocery stores?
Uh-huh.
His job was to go into each one of those stores with the products he represented and market them and pitch them new products and organize the shelves. But now everything is super Walmarts and super Targets and these big mats that all do all their own stuff in-house. There's still some merchandisers, but not like there used to be. And his job just went away.
Yeah.
His degree is worthless now. I mean, he's also almost 70 years old and doesn't want to work anymore. But
that's
not
the point.
Right.
That's not the point.
But as far as the student debt, like I'm not a proponent of, and by the way, I have still three kids coming up that two of them very likely are going to go to college and the two in the middle. So I'm going to face this problem as a middle-class person and it's going to suck. But I don't agree with the free college for everyone, as even though it would help me a lot. I just don't think it's feasible to actually do it. And I think the cost would overwhelmingly be greater than just paying for the college or getting the student loan debt. And I don't know. I had a scholarship for my first year and then I paid for the rest of my schooling myself. And I got student loans and it took me a long time to pay them off. But I guess I was grateful that that was available to me so I could get my, and by the way, I don't do anything with my degree anymore. My degree is in fire science. Mm-hmm. So I don't use it anymore, but I did.
It's like a Boy Scout degree, you like rub sticks together and make a fire.
Yep. That's it.
I thought so.
Or just use a match.
I say we push trade schools.
Trade school, but it doesn't have to be trade schools. What about entrepreneurs? What about creators? What about people that want to go to, you know,
to draw pictures for a living?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
You know, somebody that, you know, I just did when I filmed the TV show last year, you know, people that want to get into film, that can get it with no degree, then get in as a PA on a film crew. Just, you know, it's a horrible job, but you can just work their way up to that. You know, my executive producer, she and I were the two EPs, but she was the basically like a director of our show. Is very well known. She directed. She's gonna be so mad at me. I can't remember the name. It's a show on CNN about CIA spies. Anyway, she's a big deal.
Okay,
dropped out. She's a high school dropout.
Yeah,
we went out for drinks one night, and she's like, "Yeah, I dropped out of high school. I just, you know, worked my way through and got into the business as a PA and worked my way up." I'm not saying don't encourage people to go to college. There's certain career paths where you need to go to college, but not all of them.
It's not for everybody.
Paid college athletes.
Pay them.
You think so?
Yeah, pay them. They make way too much. Yeah, pay them. They're getting millions of dollars off licensing these students, their likeness.
Okay.
And the students don't see a dime of it.
That's true.
Pay them.
It's true. I guess and part of what she was saying here, who was that? That was Vince McLean, was that, you know, people say that, you know, well, they get free education. You know, so that, you know, they're getting paid a couple $100,000 to do it. But then why even affiliate with the college anymore?
Yeah.
Why have that stopgap there, you know, where you have to go through college football before you can go to the NFL or whatever?
Mm-hmm. And some of that I understand. I mean, some of that is pure physicality. I mean, you know, like in the NBA for a while, you were able to draft straight out of high school. And I don't know if that, I know they got rid of that at one point, brought it back and got rid of it. But the physicality in basketball isn't there as it is in football. Mm-hmm. And if you have an 18-year-old kid coming out of high school, they're not going to compete with grown, you know, mature men with muscle mass that they just can't create at 18.
You want to hear a funny story about that?
Yeah.
Last night at wrestling practice, I wrestled a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And was scared to death.
Yeah, that's not muscle mass. That's not. That's technique.
Well, but the point was, so the coach made us do it. So there's one kid in this youth wrestling program. Mm-hmm. He's 14, but he's 6'1", 240, and ripped.
Yeah.
And he's very good technique. I wrestled with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no one else at the practice he can really spar with. So coach made him spar with all of us coaches. And the first two coaches eventually were able to take him down. And then he put me up against him. And I was like, oh, shit. There's people watching. I'm going to get beat up by a 14-year-old kid. Luckily, I managed to get the better of him, but it was just that he is definitely better shape, better skilled than me. But it's something about the maturity, you know, your muscle mass, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as in great. I don't look like I'm in as good a shape as I was in high school, but I am physically, I'm stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to let you know I pinned a 14-year-old kid.
Pay those kids.
Pay the kids. Zach says pay the kids for it.
For it.
We need to buzz through because we're almost out of time here. Decriminalize, no cash bail. That's a whole topic. Kelly Zappas has a very good question. Toilet paper, over or under?
If you listen to the Disgruntled Mom's Dad Bods episode, you'll know that I don't change the toilet paper.
Ever.
Ever. I just said it there. Right. Sorry, Michelle.
What's funny, and what I said is we have the exact opposite roles in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the OCD one.
Yep.
And it drives me nuts every time I go into the bathroom and there's an empty toilet paper roll on the holder and a roll of toilet paper on the little short wall next to it. Then my wife did that.
Nope, I do that.
And then I'm the one that then switches them out. But the answer is over. There's a print on the toilet paper for a reason. It's so you can see it if you go under. Now, the only problem with over is if you have cats. I'll let you have it under if you have cats.
What's the difference?
Because they get up and start pawing at it.
Oh, and will
unravel the whole roll.
Okay.
Seen it happen.
I just set it right there.
You just set it down. Still to this day.
I did it the other day. Matter of fact, there's a roll at our house that's been sitting there for like 3 days. Because I think my wife is trying to see how long I will not put it on there.
I'm going to tell her just to not do
She'll
it.
She'll listen.
Yeah.
But I mean, that'll be next week.
Right.
Yeah, she might not listen. I don't know. If she listens, I'm sorry. If she doesn't listen. If she didn't listen, then we'll see how long it goes.
Yeah, I bet she's going to listen and it's going to be over with.
Yeah.
Pamela Westby mentions here the Eddie Gallagher recommendation. That is going to be an episode.
Yes, that's going to be an excellent episode.
Mm-hmm. So that's not for this one. Becky Francher wants to know about pet peeves. People that don't put the toilet paper on the roll. That's my pet peeve.
I'm sure I got one, but I can't think of it on the clock. I can't think of it.
Yeah, I've got a lot of them. My biggest, if I had to pick one, biggest one for me is inconsiderate people.
Yeah.
And that's everything from like when I'm at the grocery store
mm-hmm.
and I need to get something from an aisle and somebody's looking for something and they pull up in front of it and put their cart next to them and they stand there and block the whole thing up mm-hmm. for 20 minutes looking and are oblivious to other people around them,
yeah.
you know, where you could position that's yourself. Little things like that drive me crazy.
That's a big pet peeve. I guess I always think of it as more like self-awareness.
Yeah.
Like, that, yeah, that's a big pet peeve of mine.
Yeah. You can call it what you want. Self-awareness, or to me, it's just inconsiderate. Like, look around and be like, oh, I'm affecting other human beings that are also in this space. So let mm-hmm. me. Anyway, that's one of mine. Children's school activities, fundraisers. Kids have a fundraiser. Who's responsible for selling the shit? You or them?
How old's a kid?
Doesn't matter.
No, that matters big time. If my five-year-old is trying to sell it, it's probably more on me, right?
No, you're going to take it. Are you going to take him places? Are you going to go to work and be like, hey, everybody buy this shit?
Yeah. But if I have a 15-year-old?
I mean, I make my kids do it.
I'd be like, get your ass out there.
I make my kids do it. I take them with.
Am I just supposed to let Sagan go door to door by himself?
No, go with him, but make him do it.
Well, I take Sagan with me, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I used to hate it when people would come to the fire station, like, my kid's selling something, and everybody comes in. It's like, well, then bring your kid in here and have him get me to buy some shit.
I legit just had a person come in selling Girl Scout cookies, and I bought every box they had.
Okay, we're about to wrap. We got Sandy Jones wants to know about UFOs. I got a guest lined up for that.
Oh!
He's had a couple of sightings, and I've heard his stories, and they're awesome.
I'm excited for that one.
Jody Gerby wants to know about ghosts. For it.
For it. No, I'm not.
Not for ghosts?
No, I don't believe in those things.
We need a ghost expert for coming for a ghost episode.
I will definitely talk to a ghost expert. Expert?
Mm-hmm.
Expert?
Expert. One expert. Of them.
Yep. No, because I don't believe in ghosts. Okay. I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Well, we'll bring one in. And then Leah Dobbins again is talking about homework. It's banned in schools in Texas or something like that. But I think that we've gone far enough. And she already had a question answered. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for this fan episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. That was weird first about. I'm not, my brain doesn't go from topic to topic very
that
easily.
Was fun. No, I loved it.
Yeah.
That's where my brain goes all the time.
But thanks again for joining us. Remember next week we are going to hopefully have Ray Andriacchio is her name on the podcast next week to talk about her son's case and the podcast Culpable. Zach, buddy, thanks for being my friend.
I love you, buddy.
I love you too. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, and music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@BobWeavePod.com. If you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.